Hey, I'm Russell Leeds, and welcome to the Property Investors Podcast. I'm joined by Sue and Anna, and
Hi.
This week... Oh, hello, sorry, put you off there. This week, we're going to be discussing, should you remortgage your personal home to buy investment properties? Now, this is a question I actually get asked quite a lot, and a lot of people are quite scared about the thought of remortgaging their home. Even people that are totally sold, I'm sure you've come across this mentally,
yeah.
Totally sold on property investing, but they're like, I don't want to touch my personal home. And I think some of the reasons for that would be, you know, number one, going into more debt.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't like debt. But also, it's kind of, it just feels maybe a bit of a risk. Like, if you own your own home, or you own a vast majority of it, there's a bit of security there, which you kind of lose if you're just refinancing it to then willy-nilly go and buy investment property. So, what's your sort of thoughts on this topic? I'll come to you first, Mum.
It gets worse.
Go on.
Because not only do they not want to remortgage their own home, they want to pay off their mortgage.
Yeah.
And be debt-free. And I mean...
Oh. What, they want to be debt-free?
It's terrible.
Terrible.
Well, I think that's a real generational thing, though. I think that's how we all grew up, being like, you buy a house, you pay it off, that's your life's achievement then.
But is there anything wrong with that?
Well, then your money's stuck there, isn't it? So your money can't work for you.
It's still working for you because you I hear you say quite regularly, what happens to a house every 10 years?
Yeah, but if you're living in it, it's always stuck in there, isn't it?
It might be stuck, but it's stuck going up.
It is,
but there's worse places for money to be stuck.
It's not working for you. Not at all.
It is working
for
you.
No, it's not.
Okay, hold on a second.
Shall I tell you why first? It is working for you.
Oh, you just think it wasn't.
Sorry, why it isn't?
No, I want to hear why it is.
If you live in a house and you've paid it off and it goes up in 10 years, say you want to stay in it, you don't really see the benefit of that. You'll only see the benefit when you sell. And then when you sell, you've got to buy another house that's also gone up.
Well, you don't see the... What do you mean by see the benefit? Because you are on paper richer. Yes, your money is tied up.
Unless you ever refinance it, you can't use that money to buy anything else.
No.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Technically, yes, you're richer. But if you're... I think we're talking here about property investors, right?
Yeah.
And not just normal people that want to live in the house and just let it and have no mortgage. But when property investors... say, shall I pay off my mortgage? Unless you've got other money to use, then it would be fine. But if you've got no other money to use, and you have got this money, then how can you use that? Where are you going to get your start off money from?
I suppose that there's two questions then going on, because what about someone that didn't own their own home?
Well, that's different then, isn't it?
Well, where are they going to get the start money from?
Different, but...
Go on, where?
Well, that JV finance.
Well, can't they do that then?
Yes, they can. They can do that. But, all right, I'll explain it like this. Every 10 years, you've just said, on average, properties double. So say if you buy a house for 400k now, and you do absolutely nothing, in 10 years... it will probably be worth 800.
Yeah.
So you've made 400, right? Now, I'm talking about property investors. I'm talking about people that want to get started and do things quickly, because that's why they come to me, isn't it, as a mentor?
Yeah.
They come to me because they want to know how to get things going, get things started and do it fast as possible, right? Let's take it to extreme then. Instead of buying that £400,000 house outright, they bought four houses. I'm doing a drawing which you can't see. They bought four houses, all worth 400. Right?
Yep.
And they put 100 into each. They would still have four... This is dealing with risk. They would still have £400,000 in bricks and mortar. Yeah?
Yep.
Yeah.
Let's say they did that and they thought, oh crap, that was a silly idea. Then no sweat, sell them four and stick your 400 back in your original idea. Yeah? Now let's see what happens in 10 years to option A, which is the house outright for 400,000. It's going to go up. They'll have made a total a 400,000 profit. But when each, if they do the other option, it's called what you called leverage. So now they own 1.6 million pounds worth of property they're controlling. And when that doubles, that will be 3.2 million. But the bank doesn't benefit from the capital growth. The bank still owns the same as they do on day one, right? So how much will they have made if they just do that?
Well, 1.6 million.
No.
In capital appreciation.
How much does the bank own here? Three fours are 12. The bank owns 1.2. They'll have 2 mil.
But they've put in 4. So I'm saying they've made 1. They've made 1.6 million because they put in
right,
4 in the
okay.
first place.
So here they've made 4 and here they've made 1.6.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just for doing diddly, squiddly, squat, zilch, zip, nothing, you can make 1.6 million in 10 years.
Well, yeah.
Let me work that out first before we go on to the thing. Next point. So 1.6 million's of O's here, divided by 120 months, which is 10 years.
Yeah.
You are making 13,000 a month and 333 for doing nothing.
Or in capital appreciation, assuming that they double, which on average that.
But it's no, but it's like for like with the first. It's got to be the same.
Yeah.
Litmus plumb line, and that one. Supposing it was a rental property, and that first one was a £400,000 money in uncumbered rental property. You'd only get one lot of rent, but here, okay, you've got mortgages, but here you get 4 lots of rent. So not only are you making a truckload in that capital growth, you're making more rent. So I think you'd have to be an absolute dummy to do plan A.
You are right about the rent, and traditionally 100% correct about the rent. Right now, with interest rates as they are.
Interest rates as they are? Interest rates are low. No.
Mortgages are expensive right now. Compared to
2.3.
Compared to what I've known my whole
life. In my life.
Yeah, but come on, Matt, I can't compare.
It is a long time, one has to say. I'll give you that. But when I first bought my first house, just to put it into perspective, my interest rates on my first house were 16%.
But, I understand that, right? But I still think interest rates are a lot right now compared to what they've been like for the last 8. And also, how much was your first house?
I don't know, 25 grand, I think.
25 grand, so 16% sounds a lot, but how much was the mortgage?
Oh, goodness, I don't know.
Roughly, give or take,
I can't remember that long back. I don't know, about 200.
Right, so although it sounds a lot, interest rates, like right now, so like I got a property, by the way, just to be clear, I also totally agree with leveraging and doing all this. I agree, I'm kind of playing devil's advocate a little bit.
I know you do.
I suppose the argument would be, let's say right now, you've got to admit, normal vanilla buy-to-let property investing, you could very easily, especially if you own them in your personal name, you could very easily be making nothing to a loss, couldn't you?
You'd have to be a dummy to do that.
Would you?
I think so, yeah.
Just be a dummy?
Well, I think that if you bought a house now, with the knowledge that you know now...
Yeah.
Am I quick? If you bought a house now with the knowledge that you know now, you're not nothing like Samuel, are you?
Go on, what way?
Oh, everything. That if you did a buy to let now, you'd know about the stress test, for argument's sake.
Yeah.
If you were trained by the academy, but otherwise,
you're right.
Yes, you're right.
But you're dumb. The thing is, there's how many landlords are there right now? Probably landlords watching this show that are thinking, oh, Sue just called me a dummy, who've bought properties, interest rates have gone up, it literally is just break even.
Bit harsh, I must admit. I probably was a bit harsh.
It's true, isn't it?
Maybe not a dummy then. But let's just say this then.
Yeah.
You don't have to be making nothing at these mortgage rates.
But with this, you bought this for 400 grand. So this is where I think, if you're going to use leverage, there's an element of risk, isn't there, with leverage?
Yeah.
For example, if you And you're unlikely, because you're in such a great market, property's such a great market, the chances are you're going to be fine. But if you bought these four houses, for example, and in 10 years' time, they dropped to 300 grand, because we had a big hit, which does happen. It's possible.
Possible. Right?
Over the long, long term, it won't happen. But short term, 5 years, it could happen, right? Let's say they drop to 300 grand.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly now you've got nothing because the bank owns the 300 grand.
I wouldn't sell them though. I've got them. I wouldn't sell them.
So let's say you had to.
All right. Let's say
you're over leveraged. You've got.
Can I just put this in perspective? I agree.
Yeah.
But listen, here's the thing, right? I think there's much more risk with doing option A.
There's no risk of option A.
There is. There is.
No risk.
There's the risk with option A of losing out on option B.
Ah, well, that's not a risk. Interestingly,
it is a risk, isn't it?
Here's the thing, though. Psychologically, humans are much happier to take the risk of not gaining something.
I know.
Versus the risk.
Yeah.
I saw. If we did this.
Anna, we don't let you have a word in edgeway. Do you want to say something?
I'm okay.
Are you sure?
I saw an interesting study where they were like, right, I'm gonna toss a coin, right? I was on stage.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna toss a coin, heads or tails. If it's heads, I'll give you 2 grand.
Mm.
If it's tails, you give me 1.5 grand.
Mm-hmm.
And no one would take up on it. Even though the odds are stacked in their favour, because it's totally 50-50, and you're going to win more than you're going to lose.
Yeah.
And then I think he had to get it to about 5 grand to 1 grand before anyone would take the bait. Because we're so worried about losing what we've got versus what you could possibly gain.
Mm.
Now, if you're logically looking at this...
Do you know what you could do then?
Go on.
Stick it in the bank in case your house burns down. If you want to be really safe, you're not going to cross the road.
I think that's safer than putting it in the bank.
Here's the thing, right? That you're comparing, is this for property investors or is this
this for anyone that's potentially interested in
buying a property? Do you know what my advice is?
It is the Property Investors Podcast.
My advice, property investors, by the way, is to get yourself in as much debt as you possibly can. Property debt. Because of leverage. Imagine you've got a JV partner, aka the bank, who goes, yeah, I'll have 5% off you, interest, but I don't want any capital growth. I'll give you 75%. Most people would snap their hand off for that, wouldn't they? Any JV partner is a risk. Everything is a risk. But if you want to be serious about property, that's how we started. We sat on the drive. This is the truth. We sat on the drive. We've got a virtually paid off mortgage. We've got a minuscule mortgage just because Tim wanted a little mortgage for some weird reason. And we said, right, shall we mortgage it all up? And I was nervous, I'll be honest with you. I can relate.
Yeah.
I was very nervous.
The first time's always the hardest, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, you were scared when we first, and we actually, the first property we bought, so I'd have been, what, 20?
Yeah.
20, 21? And Anna was very much like, on your head.
Yeah.
Because it was like, even though it was a no money down deal, we were broke at the time. And obviously, if the tenant didn't pay, we'd still have to pay the mortgage.
Yeah.
So even though it was no money down, which
it still felt like a big risk
at the
time. And it
was
starting
to get going into debt, getting the mortgage, getting a loan, everything. It was like, ooh, on your head, be it.
Yeah.
Why did you say on your head, be it?
Oh, well, I was so nervous about it. And I just thought, well, if you lose the money, then you lose the money. And I didn't want to take any ownership for it, if I'm honest, on the first one. I was just like, it's your fault then if it goes wrong.
Would you have blamed him and been mean, or were you just thinking, as long as you know?
As long as you know that I'm not taking any responsibility for this.
Yeah.
And then I realised I was wrong, and that was actually one of the best properties there.
Yes.
We've ever had, really.
How long did that tenant stay, just out of interest?
It's still there.
And when was this?
About 15 years ago.
Yeah, we've still got the same tenant.
I say they're still there.
Go on.
It's the same tenancy. So
yeah.
While they've been in there, my tenant, who was a sitting tenant when we bought it, by the way.
Yeah.
Sitting tenant, single lady. She found a man. She got married.
How good.
He moved in. And then she died.
And he's your tenant now.
And he's now tenant.
So it's kind of, it's the same tenancy, but technically we've added him on and then.
But they've never missed a payment. They don't ask us for anything, do they? They're like the best tenants ever. And that's been such a good investment property.
Yeah, good.
But here's what I'm saying, right? You buy this for 400 grand.
Yeah.
And by the way, just to put it out there, I actually think you're much better off to buy, to leverage up as much as possible. Mm-hmm. For lots of reasons, which we can go into more in a bit. But I can understand the logic
so
behind this, right?
So can I. Yeah. Because I can understand it.
You buy,
because that's what we did.
Yeah. If you leave 400 grand in the bank,
you
know...
Yeah,
that's
you're right.
Go down. Yes. 100%.
100%.
Right?
So that's the worst of all.
That's
worlds.
The worst of all.
Yeah.
You put 400 grand in the bank, in 10 years it'll be worth
200 maybe.
Well, hopefully not quite. But 300, 350, whatever it is, but it's going to be less. You buy a house for 400 grand. Number one, you know that's going to go up in value.
Yes.
Number two, you've got no monthly outgoings really, right? Because the tenant's going to pay it all. So if interest rates change, it doesn't matter. You're getting the 5% as well. You're missing out on the leverage. You're getting the same deal as the bank and the same deal as you. You're doing everything all in one, right? So it's totally safe. You know you're going to get cash flow from it. You haven't got to worry about mortgages. You haven't got any extra debt. You've still got the asset that you can leverage off if you need to. You can borrow against it, which you can't borrow against if you've got these because you've already borrowed against it. So there are pros for doing that. However, and the other thing is, if the properties do go down and you decide you want to sell, these people go into negative equity, suddenly they're stuck.
Another point?
You can make another point.
Thank you. Because you asked the question, should we remortgage our houses?
Yeah.
And I've only said that. Now that is still not that great, in my opinion. So the first option of leaving the money in, agree with you. Yes, if you're nervous and you don't want to do it, you don't really want to get started that way and you want to make money other way, fine. I don't think it's the best way, but that's fine.
I don't think it's the best way either.
What I said is to buy four and see them all go up in value, and that's leverage. And you've come back with an objection. What if they go down? What if this? What if there's an explosion or whatever, right? Fair enough, we don't know, do we?
No.
Because we don't have a crystal ball. However, those four houses that you buy, let's just take one of them at the moment and look at one and then picture it times by four, okay? So just imagine one of those houses. Now, let's say instead of buying it all nice, hunky-dory for 400 done up already, let's say we buy the scruffiest version on the street of that house.
Yep.
And we pay 250 for it, right?
Yep.
Then, I like saying then, because it gives a bit of emphasis. Then we spend 50 grand on stamp, do up, etc. To make the numbers easy, I'm not going to break it all down. Blah, blah, blah.
You're 300 grand.
We've spent 300 on the project.
And now you've got a 400 grand house.
And now we have a 400 grand house. I've created 100 grand, which would never have happened in a billion years if I'd left the money in there.
Well, it would in 10 years, actually.
Are you right? You're right.
In a billion years, you'd be like a multi billionaire.
You could, if you were still alive.
Yeah.
So... if you, now, a good BRR, a really good buy, refurbish, refinance, i.e. buy scruffy house, do up, make 100 grand, a really good one, and you'll get your money out within 6 months, let's say. A really, really, really good one, you'll make more back. But let's just say you'll get your 100 grand back.
You break even, you pull your money out.
Pull your money out. So, and let's say it doesn't take that. So let's say it takes 1 year. Right?
That's probably more realistic.
More realistic, which is 100% ROI, by the way. 1 year, money out in 1 year. So instead of buying these, which was my previous suggestion, four £400,000 houses done up, what if we buy four scruffy ones that are worth more when done up? After 1 year, you refinance them all. Now, you know the market you're in. Okay, things can go wrong, but you've added value. You've not waited for the natural passage of time. So you've added your value. If all things go swimmingly, which they don't always, but if they do, in a year's time, this is what you're going to have. You're going to have those four golden gooses, which are four houses all producing money, doubling every 10 years. You're 1.6 million in 10 years.
Yep.
And your original money back in the bank.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which point you could go back and buy your own purse.
Ta-da!
Yes. But you wouldn't.
You'd do it again.
You'd do it again.
But you might get to a point at some point where you go, do you know what?
I'm so rich now.
I want to buy a house out, right? Boom.
Yeah. Yes.
And I agree with that because there are advantages to having an unencumbered house. It's easier to get development finance. It's easier to, well, you can use hunter's license and all that kind of thing. So I agree with you. But if you're starting off and it's the choice between the three, I would definitely take the third option.
So let's say you're a typical person, because in reality, most people aren't in a position where they own the house outright anyway.
No.
Right. Most people, what they're doing is they're paying for the house monthly. They have probably owned it for, say, 10 years. It's gone up in value, a couple of hundred grand. So they're probably sitting there with like a 400 grand house, 200 grand equity in it. Mm, they could probably pull 100 grand out. I know loads of people in that situation. Mm. And they're like, oh, I had someone speak to me the other day about it. And they were like, oh, should I just refinance it and buy other stuff? I'm like, yes, you should, right? Yeah. So should they, I've given away my answer, but should they pull that 100 grand out and go and do one of these deals?
I think one, yeah. I would say if you knew, you might make mistakes to begin with. You don't want to... this isn't what we did, by the way, because I'm just... When I get an idea, I don't do things by half. I just go mental on it. Like when I found out about HMOs, I just was like, more. Now I'm managing them. But really, if you're going to make mistakes, which you will... It's better to make a mistake on one and then you know...
And a smaller one.
And a smaller one.
Yeah.
One common thing about new property investors that I've noticed as a mentor is they're attracted to what I call footballer houses. Right from the word, have you noticed this?
Not just that. I had one the other day and someone, he sent me over this deal and I know the guy and he's like, can you have a look at this for me? And I'm like... This deal's too big for me.
Yeah,
it's like a £10 million.
Who do you know that much money that wants to put it into your Mr. Newbie's deal?
Yeah, I'm thinking, do I even bother wasting my time assessing this deal? Because he's never, ever, ever going to do it.
No.
So, yeah, I know exactly what you mean. So I would say start small.
Be sensible.
Here's the thing, though, right? Let's say you messed up.
Right.
Let's say you bought a house and you bought it for 100 grand and it... End value was 200, but you messed up, you ended up spending 100 on it.
Yeah.
So you 200 grand, it's only worth 200. Absolutely screwed it, right? It's really the same as just buying a house anyway. You can still it still will go up in value eventually. Yeah. It's not like
you're being...
Even if, it's still got the asset.
Yes, agree, yeah.
It's not the absolute end of the world. No. The only reason it would be the end of the world is if you were over-leveraged, borrowed all the money,
and promised to pay back,
and now you can't.
Mm.
I think leverage is... The best tool out there, really, for property investors. Mortgages, bridging finance, all the best tool. It's just being careful not to over-leverage and being careful where if you have to have the money back, I suppose, which is the whole best case, worst case, likely case, isn't it? If you're looking at the deal and what's the worst case? Can you afford to pay everyone back? Are you okay or do you have to sell it? Because I have been in a situation where during COVID, we had problems with our business and we ended up having to sell properties to pay our staff and everything.
Yeah, it's not nice.
And we can afford it, it's okay. But we lost money on those properties because we had to sell them. We're over-leveraged. We had the money, we didn't have the cash.
Yeah.
And if something bad happens and you're stuck in that situation where you've got the money but not the cash, you're forced to sell stuff, you can be a bit screwed.
We bought, you know this anyway, we bought a development project in 2007. I mean, a crystal ball wasn't there. But it all worked to plan until a month before we were selling the properties, and it was 2008. We sold the first one for 200,000. It was three luxury flats, Coles Hill, you know it.
Yeah.
You helped us, both of you, didn't you?
Yeah.
Do it, decorate it and everything. And it was great. It, you know, all worked to plan until... The top one sold for 200,000. 2 weeks later, the second one, we only got 180 for it. Then the top floor lady wanted 20 grand knocked off.
What, her penthouse?
Her penthouse. No, actually, it was the bottom lady that wanted 20 grand off.
That makes more sense.
So we let her, because otherwise we couldn't get a buyer.
Yeah.
So now that's 40 grand down. Then the other one, I think it was the middle one, it was near the airport and we were selling it to a pilot. And he just flew off to America and never came back. And we'd gone to pick Tiffany up from school. It was a Monday and we'd worked out that by Friday we'd go bankrupt if we didn't sell it. And the guy came back that week and it went through.
Wow.
But
how much did you go through for? 180 as well?
180 as well.
So you lost 60 grand.
Yeah, but we made overall.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that could have been profit margin.
I know.
Yeah.
I mean, it was 2008 and I've only ever known two crashes in my long, as you would say, life. But you're right, it can happen. You don't want to ever, after that was horrible.
Yeah.
I don't want anyone to put yourself in a position where you're thinking, if this doesn't work, we're buggered. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can't have that.
No. You don't want to over leverage. You want to use leverage, but not. So I suppose it's getting that balancing act. But I think for a normal mortgage, for remortgaging your home, whatever, it just makes sense, doesn't it?
Mm.
It also, it's giving you cash. You do a BRR, you're getting the cash out, you're not paying tax on it.
Exactly.
It's like the absolute win-win scenario.
But I tell you what, though, that experience didn't put us off at all. It just makes you grow broader shoulders.
Yeah. And you learn a lot.
And you learn so much. Yeah. So, again, whatever the season is, you know, whether it's a good time to buy, a bad time to buy, a good time to... As a property investor, you just go through it, don't you? Just live through it. And you don't let these things that would put a lot of people off.
Yeah.
You don't let them put you off. Don't let it floor you.
No. Is that the worst experience you've ever had in property?
It is. Yeah.
I don't think we've had one that bad, have we?
No.
That was bad, that one.
I remember that at the time. I was stressed on your... I mean, we were quite young then.
Actually, yeah. I think we would have gone bust on that deal, but we'd got other deals... We could have sold or refinanced. I don't think we'd have actually gone bust ourselves, but that deal
would have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stressful though, isn't
it? Very
stressful,
especially when it's early in your journey.
Yeah.
But that's a case of you had to sell. What was the, like, if you'd had the money?
Yeah, we could have refinanced. We didn't know. We were such novices back then.
Okay.
We could have refinanced. That would have been quick and we could have done it.
Even if you couldn't refinance that, if you're prepared to sit on it. Like, we bought, I'll tell you a bad one. The reason it's not as bad is we're not over-leveraged. It would be as bad. Do you know our Leeds land that we bought?
Yeah.
So we bought the land in Leeds, and it had lapse planning. They were like, put it in again. They rejected it, changed it, done all this. But imagine if we'd got that on a bridge.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Luckily, it's cash, it's fine, it's chill.
Yeah.
We can sit on it, we're cool. I think with property, if you're not stuck, if you're not like, again, back to leverage.
Absolutely right, that is. If you're not stuck.
Yeah.
I, as a mentor on the academy, you know, I always say to people, if you're doing a flip in a buyer's market, it's not a good idea to buy it on a bridge because you could get stuck on your bridge. You don't know if it's going to sell.
Yeah.
And the other thing that we always tell everybody as well, is to have two exit strategies, not one. If that doesn't work, have it as that.
Mm.
If you're relying on something, you're not in a great position.
No. And the riskier you go and the more clever and the more leverage, I suppose the more risk there is, isn't there?
Yeah.
Ultimately, the simplest way, buy a property for cash. It's actually a decent yield, probably looking at 7% yield or something. It's not bad, but it's also not super exciting. You get a buy-to-let mortgage, you rent it out of a creative strategy like service accommodation, it's less risk. It's still a really good strategy, you can still make a lot of money. If you want to make a lot more money, you do your BRR. But the more, the deeper you go, the more risk, the more reward.
Definitely. Yeah. If there's no do-up, there's no refinance.
Unless you wait.
You've got the natural passage of time, or you've got the add value.
Yeah.
And that's their choice. You know, it's your choice what you want to do, but you can... Always limit risk, can't you?
Yeah.
For instance, how many people go ahead and don't even have a builder's quote? You know?
Lots of people. Yeah. All right. Well, guys, I hope you enjoyed that
discussion, debate, getting a bit heated at times.
I'm not heated.
Massively heated.
And I was just watching on.
Yeah, it's great to have you watch. At least we've had someone watch the show before it even went out, which is always a good thing. But yes. I hope you enjoyed that, guys, and we'll see you next week. Yeah.